You can tell how techie. Whoa! Bernice, I'm always... I'm getting all this stuff ready, and I'm thinking that Joel always has his computer, and you see him scrolling. Well, this is my computer. And I'm going to scroll down with that on my notes that I made. That's how I'm going to scroll. And my very sophisticated tab that I've used since the beginning, there's the first verse, second verse, and so on. So, okay. Yeah, but that'll be your turn. Well, okay. So, I know the title, did you have the title someplace? Okay, yeah, that...
That was what I took from what you told me right there.
Yes. Okay. I was looking over messages that that I've done over, whatever, the last 3-4 years. First one, or one of the ones, were on identity. Next one was purpose. And the other one was being unique. So, yeah, in my praying and everything, I started to, okay, Lord, where am I going? And this, yeah, I don't know where some of my thoughts come from, but I said, why me, why not you? Now, right away, I'm not saying you, okay. It's just, have you ever said that before? You know, why me? Okay, why is this happening to me? When this, and this, whatever is happening with other people. Yeah. Just recently said that, did you? Well, with this, and then instantly, okay, I'm remembering when we, in our leadership meetings, Joel says, okay, we need this for whatever. And then Dave instantly jumps up and says, well, Alan will do it. And that's typically how we volunteer each other for different projects. Of course, then he found out he was doing next week, so that so that's why me, thanks to Dave. Okay. Now, first of all, as I'm looking at this, I mean, first, I want to make things very clear. I'm not any holier, any better, more spiritual, more anything than any of you. As far as me standing here, instead of any of you standing here. Yeah, we all have fears, we all have concerns, we all have problems that we're dealing with. And we also all have gifts, talents, abilities that God has given us to use to do something with. Now, it's something that, but what do we do with these gifts? Okay. Gee, I just got this gift of a brand new car. I'm going to park it in the garage and maybe take it out next year. I don't think I would do that. And I'm just using, obviously, a spiritual gift is so much more important than a new car. But it's, you have to do something, or more importantly, allow God to do something with it. So, as I'm writing through this, I'm sitting in one, what we call a sunroom in our house. It was an old porch that we enclosed and everything. So I'm sitting there and feeling God speak to me about all this. All of a sudden, I see a spider running across the floor. Okay, now this she's hiding her eyes. Now this was, you ever see or heard of a wolf spider? That's what this guy was. Yeah, well, he wasn't quite that big, but yeah, I saw him. And he just kind of got right in the middle. So I'm sitting there, and like I said, I'm in prayer. I'm writing all this stuff out and thinking, okay, well, Lord, now you're bringing a spider out in the middle of all this. So I ask myself, what? First thing I said, I ask myself, do I have the gift of spider killing? Or should I wait for someone else to come in that has the gift of spider killing? Well, after that thought, if I wait and it runs off and hides someplace, only to come out again with Linda there, Linda's going to yell at me for not killing it in the first place. So, because I love Linda and do not want to be yelled at, I used the gift of my right foot to kill the spider. So that was good for me, bad for the spider, and Linda's happy. So, what was it? It was timing. That thing could have ran out, and who knows, it might have ran out 10 times before I got in. I don't know. It was just right there. I was sitting on the sofa. The thing runs right out, right in the middle, and just sits there and says, nah, 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 whatever. I don't know. So we don't know the whole story. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going to happen next. You ever hear of a movie called Brewster's Millions? Yeah. You did? Okay, well, there goes the rest of my sermon. But yeah, that was about 1985. Richard Pryor and John Candy were two of the main actors. The whole thing behind the movie, Brewster's uncle passed away, and he was a very wealthy individual. So evidently, Brewster was his only living or found relative or whatever. So he's giving all this money to Brewster. The thing was, Brewster had to do a task, had to do something in order to receive his inheritance. He had to spend $30 million in 30 days and have nothing to show for it. Okay, so just let that sink in a little bit. Yeah, that. Now, this is whatever, 40 years ago. Not that $1 million a day today wouldn't be a challenge, but. And if he did that, he was going to get $300 million. So it was definitely worth his effort. And the big thing was, he couldn't tell anybody. He could not tell anybody what he was doing. So he, right out of the box, he goes down after this meeting, he goes down to the street, and his mind is going crazy, and he says right off the bat, who wants to have lunch? Let's all go to lunch. There's about 100 people out in the street. They all go, I don't know where they go. I'm sure the most expensive place, and that's how he started spending all this money. So it's something, now John Candy and other people that were close to him, they were doing what they could, and I'm sure in the beginning they were, well, he has all this money. He's going to have some fun. He's going to blow it. Well, halfway through, hey, this guy's spending millions, millions, millions of dollars. What is he doing? So, being a good friend, hey, we're going to help him out. We're going to invest this. And they invested it, and they started earning money for him. Well, that didn't make him happy. Because, again, they didn't know what was happening, only he did. And, of course, the attorneys and the bankers that were overseeing, I mean, he was being watched very closely because they wanted to keep the $300 million in their bank. So all this played out. He did spend the money, I'm spoiling it if you ever see the movie. And then he revealed it to his friends. The bottom line is, now, that's why you did this. That's why you got upset when I made you 100,000, whatever the numbers were, I don't know. They didn't know the plan. They didn't know what was happening. Did you ever look back at something and said, now that kind of makes sense. Now that I saw it play out, I understand it. Think God knew it in the first place? That's the first page. Now, first of all, I'm not saying to go out and spend a hole and waste a lot of money. That's not what this message is about. But I am saying about using your gifts and having time and allowing God to unveil and reveal what he has for each of us, through us, with us, in a timely fashion. There are many times, all of us, that God wants to do things and he couldn't because we were not open, we weren't willing, we weren't ready. So we do not know God's plans. We know that God wants everyone to be saved and go to heaven. I think hopefully everybody can agree with that. How that happens, I have no idea. For each individual, God has surprises and blessings for every one of us. And it's all through, of course, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Right, Peyton? Grandfather's Day, Grandparents' Day, I have to say something. Now, talking to others, ministering to others, opening yourself up to others, allowing God to share a word through you to touch lives. Big thing is to be willing to allow that to happen. How many people are outright terrified going up to somebody, even that you don't know, and saying, it's the simple thing when they sneeze, God bless you. Anybody afraid of that? Do you do it every time? I don't do it every time. So it's something that, but by the same token, going up and asking somebody, is everything okay? And allowing God to work. So, now we're going to look at some scriptures. Okay, we're going to start with Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38. Do we have them? Ah, there they are. Okay. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Now, you've all read that. And it's something that, it's nervous, yeah, going out into the harvest field or doing or whatever. So it's something that, right now, the Holy Spirit's touching every one of our hearts. Whether you know how to interpret or allow him, I know it's happening. I know it happens virtually throughout every day. But we get so busy with all kinds of stuff, we don't always allow to work. So, let's look at another scripture here. John chapter 14, 15 to 17. "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and I will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, but it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. That is one of, you know, what Jesus did was the most important of all things. But just sit there, think. Part of God is in every one of us. They could not build a temple big enough for God, but he built our bodies to house part of him. He's here on all of us, everyone out there in TV land. So we're not alone. We're never alone. Okay, here's Paul. That, with my fancy little tabs, I don't want to get them stuck and not find them. Okay. Paul writes in Romans chapter 15, 20, 21. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. He wanted to share. What's that? I know some of you will know this, where no man has gone before. Okay, who said that? Yep, Kirk. little Trekkie in there. But that was Paul, the original no man, where no man has gone before. He wanted to be the first to share, to spread a foundation of a solid Christ. Now, we really, as I said, like in Brewster's Millions, we have no idea what God is planning. I have an appointment book. I had one for years. You can look in that. I have stuff planned out. I got to call this person in 2027, this person in 2020. I may never see any of that. I have no idea, but I have these plans that, yeah, for work, for whatever, that I want and need to do. I don't know God's plans. But that's where allowing the Holy Spirit to intertwine, to work in us, to work through us for the best possible outcome. Now, I know it's really scary, as I said, to talk to somebody. It's something that, and some of you have heard my testimony and just about myself. Lynn and I constantly we talk about this. When it comes to this, we are like polar opposites. We just talked about this yesterday. Go out and talk to pretty much anybody. She likes to observe. Pretty accurate. So it's something that, and I got used to talking to people when I was very young. If you've ever read my testimony or heard me or whatever, I was raised part of the time. Well, my sisters and I, grandparents had a bar. We were in there. We were intertwining with all kinds of people. I got used to dealing with all, yeah, whatever. I met some of my school teachers for the first time in that bar. Yeah, so that. So I got used to talking with people, and I became very comfortable. And the Holy Spirit knew that, because what I was going to be, having no idea, that at that point I might have been 10, 11, literally, playing darts with our dart team, playing pool, shuffleboard, whatever, being right there in the bar, just, we owned the place, I could be there. But I got used to talking to them. So, whatever, 60 years later, here I am. So let's look at another or two other scriptures here. about opening up. Okay, we're going to go again to Romans. Okay, Romans chapter 10, 13 and 14. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? That's, excuse me. I must admit this ear thing is different. I'm used to the lapel thing. And that's where kind of the dilemma comes in. Now, sure, God can cause a donkey to talk to somebody. That's in the Old Testament. If you don't believe me, look it up. And we were talking on the way here, a singer, we think it was Don Francisco, had a song where he can talk through the dog next door or something, if any remember that verse. But what he wants to talk through us. So let's go to Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Okay. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. Have you ever asked that? It's, yeah, something that he will do it. If you ask, if you say, Lord, encourage, help, guide me to speak, to share. That's what God is waiting for, to be willing. Now, okay, it's 5 after 11. Let's see, I got 5 pages yet. No, I'm kidding. Actually, this is pretty short because we're going to have a little project here shortly. I like doing things a little unorthodox. Is that pretty good, Bernice? Yeah. And this, okay, here. So how do you share? How do you talk? How do you go up to somebody you don't know at all and say, are you okay? What's going on in your life? What's this? What's that? It is scary. Here's a little story. Now, we all have our own testimonies. I just shared part of mine. Every one of you knows how you came and received Christ. Could have been very, very young, could have been older, whatever. If you haven't had that experience, please, please, please come up and talk to me after service. Or right now even would be better. Because that's the most important of all decisions, that receiving of Christ. Exactly. So it's something that, here's a little story I heard. And Bernice, do you shave people or you just do hair? Not that I need your work, but... Oh, okay. Well, this, you might get a kick out of this. I know my legs are pretty hairy, hairier than my head. That's okay. So this is a story about a barber. Okay. Now, this barber was determined he wanted to share. He wanted to witness to people that were coming in. But he was scared. He was nervous. He didn't know how to do it. Now, one of the things, stepping back a little bit, when I was a very young Christian, I took a course, got into a ministry. teaching how to share whatever. They started with your testimony, and they literally had us write on a 3x5 card so you can share your whole testimony in like 3 minutes. And we'd practice that stuff. This guy did not do that. So he says, my next customer, I'm going to share. So it's something that guy comes in, shaving a haircut, you know, standard stuff. And he says, I want a witness. I know this guy. I really care. I want him to be going to heaven. I want to witness. So he's lathering him up. He's getting everything all ready. And he says, this is the time. As he's bringing that razor down to his head, his throat, are you ready to meet Jesus? Well, the guy's eyes got real big, ran right out of the shop, and that was that. You like that, Peyton? Great motive, or what? Terrible timing. What's that? Yeah, terrible presentation. Yes, yes. So it's something that... So how do we share? Kind of stepping back a little bit. Okay. The most important thing, of course, is being willing, being open, allowing the Holy Spirit, again, who is right here, to speak through us. But that, the right timing, the right motives, all of that is, God knows, he will get you in front of possibly the only person that you will be able to reach because of the gifting that you have. That this is your, we're not Billy Graham's. Billy Graham, I don't know, had hundreds of thousands. I have no idea how many people he brought to Christ. You, me, if we bring one, that might be the one that God had for us. But we have to be willing to talk. So, what are we going to do? Now, I said I was going to do something a little bit different. Bruce, I know you do the head count for me, which I greatly appreciate. About how many people are here? 35. Okay. What we're going to do, it's about, took my glasses off, about 12 after 11. We are now going to take about 10, maybe 15 minutes. And I want everyone to get in groups of 2, maybe 3 people. And you're going to give your testimony to each other. You're going to, I hear the excitement. This is how we learn. This is how we practiced. You get in a little group. We pretty much, I looked, I didn't see really anybody new here that hasn't been here before. So just take 4-5 minutes each and share your testimony. I'm going to be walking around in case somebody has a question or whatever. I mean, I don't know your testimony, so I'm not going to be able to say it this way, say it that way. But this is, what is it, on-the-job training? Is that a good way to put it? Okay. What was that group that came in a year or 2 years ago? Jesus Generation? They would go out and they'd, yes. Okay. Well, I'm not saying we're that group, but we are the Jesus Generation. So, okay, I want you to get up, move, get groups 2-3, now. And Bob, can... Am I on? I'm on. Okay, with that... I walked around, I was listening. Well, not close, I didn't want to hear any, whatever. What?
Taking notes.
Taking notes, yep. So I would encourage every one of you, including me, this is just a, what's that called, toe in the water, a first step, whatever. Continue to do this, whether it's at home, husband, wife, your friends, whatever. Continue to just learn how to share. Just learn how to open up so that you're comfortable. When I wrote this out about 3 weeks ago, I reread it, wrote whatever, 7, 8, 9 times so that I don't have to have my head on the page the whole time. I'm reading through it. Same thing, even though you know your testimony because you lived it, but actually verbally saying it to somebody, that is scary. I'm not making light of that whatsoever. But it can be the most important words you ever say to anybody else. So we're going to have our final song. I guess there's one song. And then I'll be back up for another half an hour. No. How do you close? How do you complete the statement? One of the last things when you're presenting something that you say to make the deal. I'll let Jesus do it. Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." The Lord, that was your closing statement. You promised to be with us. So much part of you is within us. All we have to do is say, "Lord, I'm willing. Use me." So as we go about whatever we're going about, you are there guiding us, loving us, being with us. As we just sang, you are working in us at all times. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.